It's Song Talk Radio with Michael, Neil, Phil, and the gang.
Welcome to Song Talk Radio, the show with songwriters talking to other songwriters about this craft of songwriting. We share tips, tools, and techniques, and together, hopefully, we all become better at writing songs. It's kind of an inspirational thing. I'm your host, Mike Proudfoot, and with me are the members of the Song Talk Radio Action Team, my co-host, Phil Emery. Phil, how are you?
I am very excited and a bit sad that we won't be seeing each other over the next couple of weeks.
Oh, and Neil, how are you doing? Are you all right?
I'm doing very well. I'm off work until the new year, so I'm happy.
Yeah, today was the end, right, for you? You
got today is the end of the line.
Nice.
Yeah, I got a couple more days, but it's close. And for you listening, please feel free to send your comments and questions to us at Song Talk Radio on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, or feedback at songtalk.ca, and we'll share them with the rest of the audience. And visit us at songtalk.ca to see if you could be a guest on the show. Tonight, we've got some very special guests, but first, we just need to update you on some special Song Talk happenings. We've got the Song Talk Challenge. Neil, what's that all about?
So this is our second annual songwriting challenge. And for this year's songwriting challenge, we're inviting our listeners, the same as we're going to do, to write a song where the chord progression never changes. So you've got one chord progression that loops over and over again. You do your verse, your chorus, bridge, if you like, and everything always has the same chord progression. So the three hosts, myself, Mike, and Phil, we're each going to write a song for the challenge, and we're going to share our answers on the January 26th episode. And replies from our listeners, of which we've already received a few. So thank you guys for submitting your songs. They sound great, and we hope to get some more. And the first of those episodes will be shared on the February 16th episode. And depending on how many songs of our listeners we get through, we may have to do another show.
Yeah, hopefully so.
Answers. So if you're interested and would like to take up the challenge, write a fresh new song where the chord progression never changes. Send in your audio recording, MP3, and your lyrics to feedback at songtalk.ca by February 9th. And we'll feature your song on a future episode.
Mm-hmm. They could also send a link, right? So if they have a SoundCloud link or something like that, it doesn't
have to be. Yeah, I mean, you can always share your link to your SoundCloud or your Google or whatever, like whoever you want to send it to us. Just shoot us an email and we'll get back to you.
Right. And so it's a song where the chord progression stays the same.
Yep.
Pretty straightforward. But a bit of a challenge. Okay, great. So we look forward to hearing that in the new year. But tonight, now, we're very happy to introduce to our Song Talk audience some very special guests all the way from Vancouver. We have Bobby McElhoney and Sarah MacArthur, better known as Focus Your Audio. They're a folk-infused rock and roll duo, or maybe a rock and roll-infused folk duo. I'm not sure how that goes. Either way, their musical gifts have earned them rave reviews and a ton of streaming. The pandemic doesn't seem to have slowed them down either. They've released their debut about a year ago. Then in June came the release of their single Shades, and now more recently comes their second single Over There, a perfect example of their unique mix of rock, Americana, and rock and roll. So folk, Americana, and rock and roll. Welcome to the show, Bobby and Sarah. Thank you for being here.
Hey guys.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. We listened to your songs, and they just sound fantastic. There's a lot we want to talk to you about. I just want to go right to the sound. You recorded at the Warehouse in Vancouver, which I've been to, and it's a fantastic place. It's Brian Adams' created recording studio, right?
It is. Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
How was that?
Oh, it was incredible. I mean, the room just, like, if those walls could talk, I mean, man, like, everybody.
They make their own music in there. They're so warm and lovely.
you know, just walking in and seeing that Neve console, and, you know, I don't know if any, you know, people know the history behind it, but there's only three of them in the world, and all three of them were made for George Martin, the producer for the Beatles, and so they picked this one up, I think in the 80s, and brought it into the Warehouse, and man, it just, the warmth that comes out of that console is incredible.
How did you?
I was
going to
ask what
there?
Studio you did, but
yeah, we did.
Now I know.
Yeah, Studio 2. Yeah.
Mm. How did you wind up at the Warehouse?
We just
the producer.
Yeah, I mean, Sheldon Zaharko. He's one of the producers out of the warehouse, and we connected with him. He heard some of our earlier music, some of our demos, and he wanted to go in there with us, and so that's how it started.
How did you find your producer?
Through just the music community here in Vancouver. There's a band called Stone Poets, and Mark Gladstone, he actually did all the keys and piano on that EP. He's actually the keyboardist for Prism, and he's friends with Sheldon, and so it just kind of snowed.
They knew we were looking for somebody that could help us kind of figure out our sound, to be honest, because that was our first EP, and we still weren't really sure how to record it and make it sound right. And so everybody was like, you need to connect with Sheldon. And we're like, Sheldon. And once we met with him, it was great. Yeah. And everything kind of unfolded from that.
Wonderful. It sounds great. I was surprised. When I listened to your music, I thought, you guys have been doing this forever, but it's a fairly recent release. How long have you guys been together? How long have you been working together?
Just about 3 years now.
Wow.
Yeah.
How did that come to be?
Well, I was in a rock band for years and years, and I had a lot of softer stuff that I was writing that didn't fit with the band, so it was kind of pushed to the side. And then you know, me and Sarah met, and she was like, "Hey, you know, I sing music," and I was like,
"But let's back it up, though." I was like, "I haven't really done music for a while,
right?"
Why don't you send me over some music and I'll see how I feel about it. So that's kind of how we ended up.
How it started. Yeah. And so I sent her music and she sent back, you know, melodies and stuff with it. And as soon as I heard her voice, I was like, oh man, like we got to start working together. And then, you know, eventually the rock band fell apart and we just started going full tilt at it.
So is that the nature of your collaboration? Bobby, you write the music and Sarah, you're the top liner.
For the most part, we do have very unique writing styles because Bobby does, you know, he's a musician, as am I, but our collaboration is very much him, you know, coming up with riffs and different guitar parts. And then, you know, he'll send it to me, usually voice memo, even though we live in the same house. This is what we do. So he sent me a voice memo, and because I write my best work in the car. So I just start coming up with a melody first. You know, how is the music evoking? What kind of melody and emotion from it is normally where I start. And then from there, the words just start to come. I never really know what I'm going to write about, but depending on, you know, the emotion and the melody that's come from, you know, the actual music, then that's kind of how our process is. And sometimes I'll bring it back to Bobby and bounce ideas off of him, but we very much do have our lanes when it comes to it, just because he attacks it very differently than I do. And his writing style is very different than my writing style. So we give each other space in our creative kind of zones to do our thing, but then kind of mesh it together. So it's kind of a weird thing, but.
How do you work? How do you deal with conflict with being so different?
That's a great question. Sarah answers this the best, but what basically in a nutshell is like, we've learned to just agree to disagree sometimes.
Well, if we're listening back, if the writing process itself, we're pretty sensitive to each other's, what we each bring to it. And we're quite like-minded in what we hear and what we want and where things go. So we don't tend to have very much conflict in that actual songwriting process. There might be the odd time, like I've said this before, where Bobby will say to me, what do you mean when you say that? Where I have like a certain lyric or something.
Is that code?
And I'm like, what do you mean you don't understand? It's very poetic. And so I'm quite poetic that way. I usually have to dumb it down. But when we get into the studio and stuff, the producer is usually, you know, I might hear something different than Bobby does. And we don't say to each other, you know, just don't say anything. It's very much go say what you think, you know, let's hash it out. I don't hear what you hear, but you hear it. So let's figure it out. So we're pretty good that way.
I imagine that because you're, like you say, your lanes are very different and complementary. you know, music and then the other thing. Like, I imagine that in any kind of disagreements are going to be in the minor details. You guys ever disagree on like a larger principle? Like, oh, we had creative differences in those terms. Like Sarah, do you ever come up with a lyric that Bobby just says, no, this doesn't work at all, or anything like that?
Yeah,
like,
yes.
Absolutely.
And this is where we've learned where, like, if Bobby comes back too much at me that way, it shuts my creativity down. Do you know what I mean? Like, all of a sudden I feel like I'm not free to be able to write and express myself that way. Mm-hmm. So I think he's learned that if he can live with it and it doesn't bother him too much, then he'll be like, Sarah, you just do you. Because if I'm just free to be able to write from a place where there's no walls and there's no boundaries around me, then you get the authenticity of the heart, and you get the gold of things. And if you start saying to somebody, well, I like micromanaging it too much, like, you know what I mean? Then the other person just goes, why don't you just do it? Do you know what I mean? You kind of, so there's that fine balance of adding, but it's also, so a couple of times we've come to that place where Bobby will look at me and go, what is going on with that? And then I'll just probably park it to the side and I'll leave it, because I have to think about whether what I've added to it is right or not. So I'll use, yeah, that's usually our process.
Right. And then when you get into, you talked earlier about working with the producer and they helped to help you define your sound a bit. So what's the working process for you with a producer then?
So what we'll normally do, like, you know, for instance, for Over There, you know, we'll have like a really rough voice memo of, you know, Sarah, we'll have the lyrics completed, melody completed, and we'll have mostly the structure of the song completed. And then what we'll do is we'll send it off to Mike, and Mike will trim the fat in certain areas, like, okay, you know, cut a couple bars here because it's a little too long, and so on and so forth. And but for the most part, you know, our structure stays pretty much the same, but he will kind of be like, okay, I don't, you know, like for Over There, it was a different strum pattern that I was doing when I first initially did it. And Mike was like, you know, that strum pattern really pigeonholes us in the, you know, like, we can only do so much on drum and bass when you're doing that kind of strumming pattern. So can you kind of open it up a little bit? And then we can just have like this huge space where we can come in and start, you know, adding instruments to it. And we're not kind of pigeonholed in that one area. And so for this song in particular, that's how it started. And then when we go into pre-production with him, it's very much a three-way collaboration. Yeah. I mean, we just start bouncing ideas off of each other, and where do we want to go, and how do we want this to sound? And then
well, Mike's a musician, so he's, mm-hmm. I mean, he's mm-hmm. playing all the other instruments that you're hearing.
Other than drums
and guitar. And he's guitars, playing.
Yeah.
So he's super involved with, you know, how the song kind of evolved, which helps the process of creating the sound of it.
Yeah.
I think the pre-production process is really interesting. And I think it's a thing that a lot of people will forget about, you know, when they go into the studio. Can you talk a bit about what that involved and how long it took and that kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, pre-production is usually the, like, one of the longest parts. I mean, there's, you know, it took probably a month of pre-production of us bouncing ideas off of each other and off the drummer and all that kind of stuff. You know, right from tempo to, you know, song structure, guitar structure, where we want to go with vocals. I mean, we wanted to be 100% prepared once we go into the studio, exactly what direction we were going to go, not kind of get surprised and smacked upside the head going, hey, guess what? We're going to do this now. And you're like,
we just don't have the budget to be like, some people might have a month to do, you know, a month of studio time. Like, we literally recorded two songs in 6 hours for what we needed. And so the pre-production is super important, because we need to be organized and understand, you know, what we're doing and
where we're going
to
go,
and then allow room for that nerd part to come out where we can get creative and if that allows it. But
did you record the examples while going through the pre-production to sort of listen back to it?
Yeah, what we'll do is we'll kind of just throw stuff, like Mike will just throw stuff into Pro Tools, and it'll sound super chunky and gross and all that kind of stuff, but we'll have kind of an idea of the way that the song's flowing, how it's building, where the parts are coming in, and then, you know, we can kind of get that idea. And then once we do that, we'll start nailing down our parts at home. We'll start listening back to that pre-production cut tape, rough track, and I'll make sure that my guitars are bang on point and finished and to tempo before we go into the studio. And then Sarah's the same thing with vocals. She'll make sure that all the vocals are aligned with that rough track, so that when we go in, it's pretty much like drums go in and then we go in and then just bang, 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 and just start hitting it out.
Yeah, so it's the sort of thing where you say the pre-production was the longest part, but it's well worth it because, like you say, when you get into the studio to actually do the proper recording, you guys know exactly what you're doing, and you just let it flow, and it goes out, and it gets on tape, and you're good to go. So it's like doing, you know, video work. Like, planning is everything.
Yeah,
and the more you know beforehand, before you actually start shooting, then the smoother the actual production process goes, right?
Yeah, and then, you know, once we, you know, we go in and we hammer it out in a few hours, she's just going to turn on the light.
I know, it's getting dark.
Once we hammer it out in a few hours, then, you know, if we have the studio for the whole day, then we're like, okay, let's get weird and experimental, and let's start adding stuff to this. And usually we have sometimes 4 or 5 hours to kill, because everything's done super quick, you know, in the first tracks. Yeah,
right. And then you can
much less stressful.
It's way less stressful that way. Absolutely. Yeah.
So the songs for this EP, of which the one we're going to hear is part of, were they separate songs, or is the EP all, are they all connected in some way?
They're pretty much all separate songs.
So, all right.
I believe they have frozen.
They're frozen.
Oh, I thought it was just a very succinct answer.
Sometimes songs. We get married to songs, and we're like, we like this one, we like this one, we like this one, and you kind of, you know. So me and Sarah had a you know, this thing where we're like, okay, we're gonna send you like 9-10 songs, and you pick the 4 that you want to do, like the producer, the 4 that really like strike you, and so that's what we did. He ended up picking those 4, and so that's where we went and did.
We're gonna listen to the song today, in just a second.
Oh, sorry, over there is on the EP then?
No, over there is a single on its own.
On its own, okay.
Yeah.
And you have a really cool video as well, shot by son of John Fluvog, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
I didn't know he was
a video
director. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Heather would be very excited about that because she has so many Fluvog shoes. She's part of the community. It's a whole thing.
I have a couple of pairs myself. I have to admit, like, they're fantastic shoes. So I can't.
They're good rock and roll shoes too.
Yeah,
they got style.
Yeah. So, what was the process putting this song together like?
This song was, you know.
So, do you mean the actual writing of the song, or do you mean, So I think, you know, this song and our next single were written at the same time in the spring. It was shortly after COVID kind of entered our world. And, you know, we hadn't done a lot. There was probably a couple months we hadn't been doing much writing. And then all of a sudden, actually Bobby and I had gotten into a pretty substantial argument. It's so weird. Write a song and then everybody asks you what the song's about and you need to tell them. It's a very strange experience. Anyways, so we had gotten in an argument and resolved it, but sat down with the next time just to write, and you know, things just sometimes come out. And so this song was kind of written shortly after we had a pretty good argument about something. Nobody won, just so you know.
Making that one of those, eh?
Disagree to disagree.
So nobody won and nobody lost, right?
Nobody lost.
Exactly,
that's true.
Exactly.
It's very Canadian of you.
that's what I thought. So yeah, and oftentimes I will write alone. Like Bobby's not usually with me when I'm writing, so I will usually just take the music and go somewhere and by myself, which is why I often say I write in the car a lot. So I'm usually going back and forth to a million places. But yeah, so this song kind of came out of that. And then when we showed it to Mike, he said, we got to record this song. And we thought, yeah, this will be great. And so then it started the whole pre-production from a distance, because of course we were smack dab in the middle of COVID. And that was interesting to do it, not face to face. And then we were able to extend our bubble. And so Mike was part of our 6-person bubble that we had. So we were able to get into the same room as him. But yeah.
Were there many changes to the song through the producer?
Other than the strumming pattern, I mean, the strumming pattern was a lot different. But, you know, and then the pre-chorus, I mean, he really loved the pre-chorus. He loved the hook of the pre-chorus. So, mm-hmm. you know, adding it onto the end of the song, you know, adding it one more time after the second chorus. So that was his, you know, he really wanted to accentuate that kind of hook part of the song. That was the one part where he's like, okay, this is, you know, we want to kind of put this part out in the spotlight. And so, yeah.
Mike's really great with the background vocals. Like, so there's like, you know, all the recording of the main vocal, and then there's just a full day of background vocals, harmonies, mm-hmm. where it's just layer upon layer upon layer upon layer. So, and you know what? He hears something and he pushes me. God love him. He's fantastic. And I adore him. And I love the fact that he challenges me every time we go in to do something. And it's great because I grow, you know, as an artist myself. But the harmonies in that song and in Shades as well were just massive. There was just, you can hear some of it, but when we were actually doing it, gosh, what were we doing, Bobby? There was, when you talk about those.
Oh, like fifths, thirds, fifths, sevenths, like just crazy amount of harmonies on top of it. It was just
nice.
And yeah. I do it by ear. So, and I've always played by ear. So, you know, Mike is so, you know, he's very technical and he's trained. And so he'll say, you know, do a C. And I'm like, okay, you're going to have to play it for me. So every single time we'd go into, you know, a chorus or the pre-chorus where he'd want me to do yet another layer, he'd have to like actually play on the keyboard in my ear, the note, ding, 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 so that by the time I got to it, I can remember. And then, you know, it works. You know, you have to find a method. Sometimes it works. But we got through it.
Well, I mean, you know, when you're doing vocals and then all of a sudden he's like, okay, I want you to sing a third of that. I mean, you're like.
Yeah, I'm just like, okay, you have to give it to me.
What? Okay, like you have to play that third. You have to play that third because I can't just like pick the third out but with my voice without even, you know, there's some people with perfect pitch that can, but
I'm like, you need to help me, you know, I need to hear it.
But yeah, so that's you know, that's what he would do is he would go, okay, I want you to sing this part in the third, and he would hit the third on a keyboard in your monitors in the vocal booth.
Yeah.
And then she would just mimic that.
At least I would know where to start because it's, you know, when you're doing that many layered harmonies, you can get lost in a maze with it. So he was pretty patient with me.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Cool. We should take a listen.
Yes, we should.
Aside from the harmonies, is there anything else in this song that you'd like us to, the listener to pay attention to or to notice?
The percussion at the beginning of the song, we wanted to get this massive sound and we couldn't, like, you know, we went into Hipposonic, which is a fantastic studio here in Vancouver as well. And we had Carl DeCare, co-engineer that day, who's just a phenomenal engineer. And so him and Mike were kind of on the console going, okay, how are we going to get the sound? And so they had, you know, I think it was a 26 inch or something. I'm not a drummer, so I'm not really sure, but yeah, Johnny had this big, kind of, jazz bass drum, like this big 26. And then what they ended up doing was they put another bass drum in front of that bass drum and mic'd that back bass drum so that when the air came out of that first, the kick drum that he's hitting, it would hit and reverberate off that other kick drum that was in front of it. And it still wasn't like, they still were like, no, it's still not big enough.
Not big enough.
So they went and grabbed this big high school bass drum.
Marching band bass drum.
And put that in front as well. And so when that got hit, it was just like, it was just boom.
It still wasn't big enough.
But Carl was like, it's still not big enough. So during COVID, Hipposonic is doing live sessions in their big live room. And they put a massive PA in there for that live session. So he goes, you know what? Let's get this kick from the board into the PA subs and have that come into the room and just smash these mics in the face. Nice. And so that's what ended up happening.
It worked.
And while Johnny was playing, they're like, how are you doing? He goes, because, like, you know, he's a massive session drummer. He's drummed with everybody. And he's like, this is the first time I've ever been in a studio where I can actually feel my kick drum hit me while I'm recording. He's like, this is the weirdest thing I've ever done. And so, when you listen to the percussion at the beginning, that's how we were getting it. It was through a PA into all the room mics, into this massive high school drum. Like, it was just, it's crazy.
It sounds amazing.
Very cool. Yeah. All right. Let's
pick up the song, shall we?
Go.
We didn't see in the clouds coming straight away. Bringing a rain that loosens all the stems in its way. Seems to shreds. Why are you over there? When I'm over here.
Fantastic.
Really good. Very cool.
I get what you're saying about the drums. It's like that Phil Spector wall of sound. It's like Absolutely, Be My Baby kind of drums. Yeah.
Right.
Phil, what? Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, that the drums were just, they're massive on that song, and that's what we wanted. We wanted that kind of spatial thing, so.
Yeah, what a...
What did you think of that?
Well, a great tune. What an interesting structure, because your verse at the beginning is four lines, but then your next verse is only two.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting, and it just goes to prove that you don't necessarily have to have a whole bunch of words. Like, you know, that, it didn't feel like it was short. It just felt perfect, which I thought was really interesting. And I don't know if it would work as well if the first verse only had the two lines. Like, I think you needed enough of the verse to be established so that when you shorten it, it's okay. Whereas if you, I think you started off with just two lines, it wouldn't be enough. They wouldn't know it's a verse yet. And it was interesting because your chorus still seemed like it's a chorus, which is can be kind of a tough thing to do in a mid-tempo song, because it's hard to kind of get that energy up or that change. But you were able to delineate it, which I think a lot of times I hear some songs, the verse and the chorus isn't delineated enough. So I thought that worked really well. And I love the way it ended. I thought it was really good. Just again, the pre-chorus, but just the two lines. Really nice.
Right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah. Neil, what do you think?
I mean, I love the song from top to bottom, and I've listened to it many times since you guys submitted it to us. And I think further to what Phil's saying about the second verse being shorter, I think the reason that it works, I'm not sure if you guys even thought about this necessarily, but the first time you hear it, the verse is going along and it's nice and poetic and, oh, we're establishing the mood and everything. And then that pre-chorus hits. And the pre-chorus is super, super special, right? So by the time you get to the second verse, it's like, yeah, I want to get to that pre-chorus again because it's so bloody special that I don't want to wait for it anymore. Two lines is enough and we got to get to that part. So what I want to know from you guys is between the music and the lyric thing, like Bobby, did you lay down that pre-chorus sort of open feeling first and then let Sarah sort of bring that melody to it? Like, how did that come together? Because it sounds so unified that it seems so weird that you guys might have came up with the parts separately somehow.
Well, you know what? Actually, it kind of was separate. It was the verse and the pre-chorus first. The chorus chords came after that. Mm-hmm. But the first thing we wrote on was the pre-chorus, because that was like, once like I came up with that and Sarah was like, "Ooh, I really like that." She was like, that was actually like, cause there's always parts of a riff or a song that I'm writing that Sarah will attach herself to right away and say, "I really like that," and start from that point. It's not necessarily the verse. It's not necessarily the chorus. It's whatever is just grabbing her at the moment. And for this song, it was the pre-chorus. It was that kind of that weird change in it. And she was like, "I really, really like that." And that's what she started writing on. And it was the same with Mike. When he first heard the song, you guys nailed it on the head. It was like, "I love that pre-chorus. Let's stick that pre-chorus everywhere in this song."
Oh, and then we have those than choruses.
Absolutely. And he's like, "And if we have to cut first lines, I don't care. Let's stick this thing," right? And so that's what happened.
But the whole song was built around the pre-chorus because it was the very first thing that was written. Yeah.
And it's the same lyric every single time. And it totally works.
Right. Yeah.
Because your chorus is actually, in a lot of ways, your chorus is longer than your verse.
Yeah.
The chorus is really, really long, but it's super catchy, and it brings the light out of the dark with respect to the lyric, and it's really, really beautifully done, and you don't feel that it's too long at all.
Right. Thank you.
That's awesome. Yeah,
great stuff.
Thank you.
Yeah. What's nice about the song is, for people that are very kind of structure based, okay, verse, chorus, bridge. This is a great example of, okay, just let it be the song it needs to be. And you know the story of the song, and you go along with the feeling of the song, and it, you know, okay, the verses are shorter than the chorus, and the pre-chorus sometimes doesn't lead to the chorus, and you know, it's but it just it works so nicely, and it sounds so great. So yeah, it's.
I have a question for you, Bobby. Is it a challenge for you? I mean, the guitar playing is really, really nice on this. And you have that little guitar break in the middle of the song. Is it a challenge for you to like hold back on being flashy with the guitar?
Not at all. I actually, even when I was in the rock band, it was like, okay, if there's a very like bluesy feely lead, Bobby, you got it. Because like, you know, I truly believe that it's like, you know, whatever the song kind of just takes from you, you put it in there. And if there's a time to be flashy, it's the time to be flashy. And if there's a time, you know, and I just thought that the more minimal I was with this song, the better it would be. And, you know, even with, you know, the structure of it and all that, you know, it's one of those things where we always say in the studio, let the song dictate what the song wants to be. Mm-hmm. Don't force things into it that don't need to be in it. And Mike's very much like that too. Let's just let the song tell us what it wants to do. And so that's how we kind of approach it. And so, yeah, this one definitely, I was like, no, I don't want to be flashy at all in it. So no, it wasn't hard at all. But actually, yeah.
Great. Yeah. Cause it is tasteful. You know, and it totally supports the vocal melody and supports the song and it walks in with the groove perfectly. Like it's not that it's, you know, simplistic. It's like really tasteful and kind of perfect for the song.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you.
We have enough people going diddly 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 on the guitar.
Yeah, exactly. We don't need that.
Mainly because I can't do that. So
that's you know, I didn't want to, the biggest thing is I didn't want to take away from the vocal. Mm-hmm. I wanted to make sure that vocal was the prominent part of that bridge, right? And, you know, I didn't really actually have the time to do anything other than that either, because Sarah comes in with the vocal right away and, you know, I was like, okay, that's it. That's all I'm getting.
Yeah, it works great. Yeah. Well, that music you hear in the background is that hook to us off stage.
Okay.
That's all the time we have for this show, but hopefully you come back. You've got more songs coming out and so we'd love to talk to you more in the future. So thank you for being on the show tonight. For people who want more of you, what's the best place to find that?
It would be focusyouraudio.ca.
Focusyouraudio.ca. Okay, awesome. Great. So I'm afraid that is all the time we have tonight on Song Talk Radio. Thank you for joining us. Send us your impressions on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram at Song Talk Radio, or send us an email at feedback@songtalk.ca. And be sure to check out our YouTube channel for live performance videos and full episodes where we all are in our own separate little boxes. And stop by the site at songtalk.ca. You can subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, Podcast Addict, and a whole bunch of other places. And you can sign up for a free newsletter on our songtalk.ca site. We'll have a meetup coming in January sometime where you can come in and join the songwriting circle. And until then, have a great holiday. And let me see, if they want more of you, Phil, how would they do such a thing?
They can go to philemery.ca.
And Neil?
neilmodi.com.
Excellent. And me, just on Instagram, proudfoot420. That is all. Thank you very much to our guests, Focus Your Audio, Bobby and Sarah.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Happy holidays. Thank you. Take care.
Have a great new year, everyone.
And stay safe.
That's an order.
Should have brought my hat. Santa hat.